Welcome back to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast with Jeff Lyle. Today, we will continue to explore the gifts of the Holy Spirit by unpacking the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of faith. Jeff has a lot to say today, so let's get right into it.
A couple of weeks ago, so this would have been the end of August, I went up to Kentucky and attended a Host the Holy Ghost conference led by Paul and Taylor Johnson, friends of ours, and incredible time up there. Incredible time. We're going to, Lord willing, host this same conference at Antioch Outpost at our church in February. I think it's February. I'll share those dates in the future with you. I just can't remember them off the top of my head. I think it's like the first week of February, maybe the second weekend. But at the conference, it was just really a conference. It was the first one they've done. And the whole point is to just meet with believers and wait on the presence of the Lord. There was zero featured speaking, no big names. Matter of fact, no names. There were no names. It was Host the Holy Ghost. And the only reason I mentioned Paul and Taylor is because they were the ones that felt led of the Lord to do this. And it was just a great conference. A lot of prophetic, but mostly just worship and being in the presence of the Lord, some declarations, some impartation, laying on of hands. It was a very powerful time together. What was interesting is I ate at a restaurant with some of the people that were there. It was that lovely Citadel of fine dining called Cracker Barrel. And we were in Cracker Barrel in the last week or next to last week in August. And they had Christmas stuff up. My wife would have been in heaven. I mean, she would do Christmas all year long. I got a good friend named Roy Giese who pastors up in Greenville. And he's like Amy. They all year long, Christmas decor. I like Christmas at Christmas time, but I'm not interested in Christmas at August. Forgive me. Call me Ebenezer Scrooge or whatever. But I was sitting in their lobby paying my bill, and I was like, they literally have a Christmas tree up with decorations in late August. Just hilarious. Now here we are in September, and I'm thinking, good night, this year has flown by. You know, the elections is around the corner, political upheaval, drama upon drama, drama cubed, drama squared, drama exponentially increasing, and a lot of the prophetic voices, credible ones, are saying that before we get to the election, there's going to be some massive cultural stuff that's going to happen. Some are talking about shutdowns. You hear rumblings of monkeypox and all the stuff. So welcome to 21st century American Christianity. Let's buckle up and see what happens. So at the conference that I mentioned just a moment ago, there was a great exposure to what it looks like for a group of people to just move and flow in the Holy Spirit. If you're not comfortable with the Holy Spirit, you would not have been comfortable at this conference because there was very little human formatting, very little clarity about what was going to happen from day to day. And I thought it was fantastic. And I went up there with my associate pastor, Kent Mangum, here at Antioch Outpost, and we just kind of soaked. And it was just a great time. So I think coinciding with that weekend a few weeks ago, what I've been teaching on Mavericks and Misfits, where I am in my personal journey, I think it's just a good opportunity for us to focus in on a little bit more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is a definite focus, a teaching focus in these recent podcasts. I don't know how many more I'll do, probably a few more, but it's just, I think it's so extremely important for us to talk about these things. And I want to talk to you today about some gifts that are, I think, very important in my life. I don't flow in a ton of spiritual gifts. There are some that I really want to experience more at a higher level. And when I do find a place where God has, whatever reason, chosen to release an anointing into my life, I like to maximize those gifts because those are for the body. And if that's what he chose to release in me for the good of the body, then I want to I want to release him into the body. Y'all, let me take a sip of coffee real quick. So here we are, going to talk about today the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the word of faith. And I'm not going to really focus on the word of faith in the common understanding of that phrase that has a different meaning among Pentecostals of the last 30, 40 years. And I'm just going to talk about the gift of faith. And so again, coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read these verses and this one and probably a couple of others because it's crucial that we get this. I want your views of the gifts to be biblically informed. That's why I'm doing this little kind of run of episodes on Mavericks and Misfits. I want to use the Bible so that we understand what the Bible says about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that our own opinion doesn't outweigh what the scriptures say. And that's for cessationists and charismatics alike. We all need to be biblically rooted and grounded in what the word says about the gifts of the Spirit. And so in 1 Corinthians 12:7, we're told this: to each, and that's each Christian, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Okay? Verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. We learn that as the word of wisdom in the King James, the utterance of wisdom. And to another, the utterance of knowledge or word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And then he goes on to say, and we'll talk about this next time, I think, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So you can see just by that handful of gifts, we've only covered a few and we've got a few more to go. And so today, I just want to talk to you about this issue of the word of knowledge, or in the ESV, which I preach out of most of the time, the utterance of knowledge, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and then we have this issue of the gift of faith, which I think is probably the most important gift. I know what it says about prophecy, but the gift of faith is the glue and the fuel that all the other gifts are secured by and run on. And so we're talking about faith today. But Paul, again, in verse 7, reminds us of the purpose of spiritual gifts. It's not so you can join the Pentecostal club. It's not so you can gain followers on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is clear in verse number 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. To each Christian is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. The gifts of the Spirit are to be beneficial to people. There you have it. The common good, the shared good, as the church ministers to itself. Yes, to unbelievers too, but primarily spiritual gifts are for the church to use on behalf of the church, the Christians on behalf of the Christians, for the common good, for the shared good. I'm to use my gifts for your benefit. You're to use your gifts for the benefits of others. That's just the way God has set it up. And so much of the problem with spiritual gifts in our day is that it's very selfish and very self-aggrandizing. The person with the gift is like the focus in a lot of places, and that was never the heart of God. The gift holder is not to be the focus. The gift, and really more specifically, the giver of the gift, which is not me and you, but God, God gets the glory, and we get the benefit of receiving the ministry of the gifts of the Holy Spirit from other people. And if you're using your gift, you get the privilege of being used by God. And so remember that. Just remember, gifts of the Spirit are for the common good. Every Christian, remember, to each is given, to each Christian. Are you a Christian? Then to you is given a manifestation of the Spirit to be used for the common good of other people. And the purpose of all spiritual gifts is to build up others for the good of the church. I wish we could get that. I really, really wish that we could just get that down, that we would understand that the gifts are not toys, they're not magnets, they're not mirrors, they're not about us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are to be used for the good of others. So here we have some gifts that are mentioned, and we'll cover three today. The first is these gifts of the knowledge and wisdom, communicating knowledge and wisdom, okay? Some people would see that as not necessarily a Holy Spirit gift. Jeff, if you're communicating knowledge, that's an intellectual gift. You have knowledge in your head, and you're just teaching. Well, teaching is indeed a gift, but this is different. The gift of teaching is an exercise that is involved in studying, learning, and sharing what you objectively study and learn. And that's a valid gift. I love that gift. But when we're talking about the word or the utterance of knowledge or the word or the utterance of wisdom, we find that these are endowments by the Holy Spirit. So let's take this word of wisdom. It's a gift. It's an endowment by and in the Holy Spirit given to an individual Christian. And with that gift, somebody is given spiritual wisdom that usually meets an immediate or some kind of crucial need with a spiritually revealed practical answer or a solution. It is a word of wisdom, a word of direction, a supplied piece of supernatural information coming from God to a Christian, and that Christian releases that in a moment of time. There's a supernatural touch on the word of wisdom that, like, as it's being given, there's this confidence and easy embrace for those hearing that word of wisdom to receive it. I mentioned earlier about my friend Roy Giese up in South Carolina. He's Pastor's Outreach Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If you live anywhere near there and you're looking for a church, that is where you're supposed to go. Outreach Church, Roy Giese. Roy flows in the most unique and anointed word of wisdom ministry that I have ever been exposed to. As a matter of fact, I would probably say he's probably the only man that I'm aware of who has been graced of God to build a very fruitful ministry that is based on the presence of the Lord and using Roy's gift of the word of wisdom. When he preaches and teaches, it is not primarily didactic teaching, although he can do that. It is this word of wisdom, so that as he's speaking, you know that you're hearing wisdom from God. It's the way the words come together. It's the anointing on the words. It's that he makes sense of things that are kind of jumbled. Like, and when he speaks, the wisdom that comes brings all these different dissected random thoughts into what I call a coherence. It just makes sense. You hear him, you're like, man, that's exactly right. I never could have said it that way. I didn't understand how to verbalize what I felt or thought or what I've wondered about this thing, and God just used Roy to do that. And so it's hearing that word of wisdom. Now, you may wonder, where is that found in Scripture, Jeff? Thank you for telling us about Roy, but where is that found in Scripture? Well, if you go to Acts chapter 15, it's a long passage, but beginning around Acts 15:6, all the way down close to the end of the chapter, down through verse 29, you got Paul and Barnabas, and these two men were summoned to Jerusalem to explain why Paul has taken the gospel to the Gentiles without requiring the Gentiles to submit to the Jewish ritual of circumcision. I mean, they were like, people were mad about this. There was great debate, and even the apostles and elders were like, hey, Paul, can you come down here? We got some concerns about you being kind of freewheeling with the gospel among the Gentiles. And when they're down there, Peter, after hearing Paul speak, Peter replies to the entire Jerusalem council with what I would call a word of wisdom. And this is what he said. He said, brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that by my mouth, the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed the Gentiles' heart by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke, that's the circumcision yoke, a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? but we believed we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus just as they will. So you had this big problem. You had this big debate. It was actually a fight. It was causing a ton of division. And Peter listens to things objectively, and he serves as a bridge of wisdom in this moment, and he gives this word. It's a word of wisdom. And so as his word of wisdom got considered by everybody there, they listened to the report after that of Barnabas and Paul, and they're recounting the supernatural ministry among the Gentiles. And then James, who is really the leader of the Jerusalem church, he replies with a further word of wisdom. He says, "Brothers, listen to me. Peter has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled and from blood." Okay. All right. That just sounds like talk, right? But the word of wisdom is not like so crazy supernatural that you think that it has no human involvement. A lot of times it can just sound like godly counsel, but it's more than godly counsel from the intellect. It is supernatural, a gift. This is beyond common sense. It's beyond even human wisdom. This is God's wisdom imparted to believers in the moment that it's needed. You remember Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6? It says, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And so when you're praying for spiritual gifts, I want to exhort you to pray for the word of wisdom. Like, we have so much opinion that is being bandied about back and forth at higher and higher decibels, but there's not a lot of wisdom out there. There's a lot of cliches. There's a lot of, you know, rehashed things that Christians borrow from each other. And there's just a lack of substance. But when the word of wisdom is given, it stops the room. It helps everybody. Wisdom is so rare today in the church that when somebody carries it, they set things in motion. They also prevent disasters from happening because the wisdom of God speaks into dysfunction. It speaks into confusion. It speaks into strife. And the word of wisdom comes in, and you know you're hearing something more than just, you know, common sense or reasonability. I want to encourage you, in accordance with the scriptures, it says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, earnestly desire wisdom. It's not about being intelligent. There's nothing wrong with being intelligent, but it's not about having a great mind. It's about hearing God and releasing God's wisdom in such a way that it is simple to receive and digest, okay? Word of knowledge is the next one, and that's probably a little bit more easier to define, or at least to note, okay? Again, verse 8 says to one, 1 Corinthians 12, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, just tried to talk about that a moment ago, and to another the utterance or the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So we're reminded that the Spirit who gives the word of wisdom also is the Spirit who gives the word of knowledge. So what is word of knowledge? Can I tell you just a personal note here? It's probably my favorite gift that I get to use. And in certain environments, I'm able to use it at a high level. In other environments, at a lower level, I love using it one-on-one when, you know, you're just with somebody. Or maybe you're meeting somebody and God begins to give you words of knowledge about who they are, what they've experienced, what's going on in their life. It is a thrilling gift to be able to meet somebody where they are. And for me personally, the word of knowledge almost always attaches itself to the word of wisdom. The place where I get to use this the most often is during ministry time or altar calls. When altar calls are given, typically the word has been preached, a call has been released, people come forward for specific reasons. But in certain environments, especially if I'm not preaching, but I'm doing altar ministry after somebody else has preached or taught or prophesied, and people come forward, it's just an amazing thing. I've literally spent hours, hours in altar calls, just flowing in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. So you're saying, well, what is it, Jeff? I would say that the word of knowledge is a supernatural, it's a very specific deposit of knowledge. You just know something, and it's granted to the person using that gift. It's granted to that believer by God. And in the granting of it, they are able to both perceive and communicate something that couldn't be known to them by any natural means. It is a supernatural revelatory moment, a gift where God communicates something to, when I'm using it, God gives me something for the person. It is closely associated with prophecy. I would put word of knowledge under the banner of prophecy, but it's almost always given into an individual by an individual. Word of knowledge is very interrelational. It's very personal. And so the word of knowledge manifests to those who are positioned in righteousness. You've got to be walking in the Spirit. You don't want to release words of knowledge if you're not walking in the Spirit, because those words of knowledge, presumable words of knowledge, will not be words of knowledge. They will be you prophesying out of your soul, or you're going off of what you see in the natural. And when you're walking in righteousness, you're positioned to hear the inner voice of the Lord. And then you got to operate in a confident faith to release that word. Now, I could give you dozens of examples about what this might look like, but I think people need to learn to listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. A lot of words of knowledge are given, but people don't have the faith and the courage to release these words of knowledge. They think, well, I don't want to say that because it might not be true. I don't want to say that because I might be intrusive in somebody's life by saying what I think I'm hearing. And is that me or is that God? And at some point, you've got to risk it, friend. You've got to risk it. All these gifts, I'll talk about it in a moment, are used by faith. And faith, in definition, carries an element of the unknown. And so the word of knowledge is you hearing something in your spirit about a person and learning how to properly give it to them in a manner that does not force them to believe. Well, like, I don't go in, thus saith the Lord, I've got a word of knowledge for you, thus saith God, God saith. I don't do that. I wish you wouldn't do that, because that basically forces the person into a place where now if they don't believe the word of knowledge, they're disagreeing with God. And look, you don't have to put a thus saith the Lord on it. Prophecy has to be tested. That's the teaching of Scripture, word of knowledge. I always tell people, listen, I'm going to share with you what I believe I'm hearing right now. You are free to receive it, but if it doesn't land properly with you, pray about it. And if you don't feel it's the Lord, please don't receive it. I tell people that all the time. That way, they don't leave obligated to believe something that maybe they're wrestling with that may, you know, disturb them. Give them the freedom to pray into the same Lord that gave it. You know, people are like, well, Jeff, if it's of the Lord, it's going to be true. I 100%. But we also know the Bible says we prophesy in part. And I'm going to deal with that in a later episode, this element between the human and the divine in the releasing of the prophecy. So the word of knowledge, you can see it in Acts 9. You see it in action. Right after Paul, Saul of Tarsus, gets blinded by Jesus, receives his calling, he can't see. And the Lord speaks to Ananias. He's told by the Lord Jesus in a vision to go and lay hands on the recently converted Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was the enemy. And Ananias is a believer, and he's told in kind of a vision by the resurrected Jesus, go restore the sight of Saul of Tarsus. But Ananias is afraid to do it, because, again, Saul's been persecuting the church. So Jesus specifically tells Ananias, Saul is now saved. He has received a vision of you coming to see him, Ananias. He needs healing from blindness, and he's being sent forth as an apostle to the Gentile people. So Ananias gets that word, very specific, and he goes to Saul. He shares with Saul everything that the Lord had communicated to him via the word of knowledge. This is what happened to you, Saul. This is what the Lord has said. This is what you're going to do. Okay? And so this word of knowledge assures Saul, who obviously became the Apostle Paul, that he himself, Saul himself, has truly heard from the Lord. Why? Because the word of knowledge that Ananias gave actually reinforced what Jesus had already told Saul. So the word of knowledge confirmed what Saul had heard privately from the Lord. And so now, after he gets his sight back, he fully embraces his new assignment from the Lord. Love, love, love the word of knowledge. This is a gift I want you to be careful with, but not afraid of. Not everything that pops into your spirit is a word of knowledge. A lot of people give words of knowledge out of their soul. They give it out of the flesh. I would rather there be fewer words of knowledge that were more accurate. And don't just throw spaghetti on the wall to see what sticks. You know, people release 12 words of knowledge hoping one sticks. That's not wise. That's not helping anybody. And so words of knowledge are revelation from God to potentially you that you are to release into the life of the one that God is giving you the word of knowledge about. And I'm going to tell you, this gift builds on itself. When you use it, I mean, I don't want to reduce it to a formula. I definitely don't want to set this up as a means by which you're going to get words of knowledge. But I've been doing this for a very long time. First time it ever happened to me, I was still pastoring the Baptist church. I was in Africa on a missions trip with a bunch of people from John MacArthur Seminary. Hilarious story. I think I write about that in my book, Figuring It Out As I Go. I do. I know I mentioned it in there. But they picked me to go teach pastors, and these are all from Master Seminary. John MacArthur doesn't believe in the gifts, nor do his graduates from his seminary. But they unknowingly picked me to go, didn't know I was a closet charismatic. And we went over there, and we taught pastors. And at the end, I was low man on the totem pole, so they gave me the task of handing out the Bibles. And as I'm handing out Bibles to probably 200 pastors, I'd never experienced this gift before. And this is back in probably 2013. Almost every single person I gave a Bible to, I got words of knowledge for. And they were shocked. I was giving the words of knowledge in English. The Swahili translator, who himself was a Baptist, had to awkwardly translate my words of knowledge to these Baptist pastors. But you could tell that their eyes got big. I'm disclosing the secrets of their heart in a good, affirming, edifying way. And after that, I was like, oh, Lord, I watched what you did in their lives with that. Help me to steward that gift as one of my favorite gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's finish up with faith, because a lot of people don't think faith is a gift, except for the Bible says it is. I'm not talking about saving faith. I'm not talking about the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. I'm talking about faith to live by. I have another friend. His name, share it with you. He's Pastor Chris McDonald. And I recently listened to Chris in a message. I was with him. I was in the audience. And it just hit me. The Lord just started saying, this is an apostle of faith. Chris McDonald. I told Chris, I said, Chris, I want to just go ahead and declare this over you. You are an apostle of faith. I don't know that I've ever met anybody that has more faith than Chris McDonald. Specifically, in the area of wellness and healing and wholeness and deliverance. What kind of faith am I talking about? I'm talking about this gift. And again, the Bible says it is a charisma. It is not just a personality. It's not a mental. It is a gift of the Spirit that some people have at high, high levels, and others may not have it as that high level. What is it? Well, simply put, it's an endowment from the Holy Spirit. He endows a person with high levels of trust and absolute confidence in what God is going to do in a moment of time or a specific need. Like, they just know. It's not an issue. They don't wrestle with doubt. They're not complicated. Typically, you hear people with the gift of faith say, well, isn't that what the scripture said? Yes. Why are you doubting at all? Believe. In the name of Jesus, believe. And a lot of us are like the father and the Gospels who said, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. The person with the gift of faith doesn't have that. The person with the gift of faith, matter of fact, is oftentimes perplexed, if not insulted, by the fact that so many Christians live in the world of, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Can I go ahead and say something? I like to be honest on this podcast. I've told you that I flow in the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. I don't flow in faith like this. I pray for it constantly. Lord, I am too complicated. I need a measure of simple faith that does not hesitate. I need that endowment of absolute confidence in what you're going to do in a moment of specific need, especially when it comes to healing. The gift of faith is, I think, the engine room of all the other gifts. So it's very interesting. Some of you have faith to speak in tongues. You do it all the time. It's second nature to you because you don't struggle with it. Others of you are pressing into the issue of tongues, the gift of tongues, and you go through that phase where you're like, is that me? Is that God? Lord, help me. That's not a demon praying in tongues through me, is it? And it's complicated. And so some people have faith for miracles and healings. I just don't flow in that. Oh, I'm so longing for breakthrough in that area. I'm not indifferent about it. I've not accepted the fact that I'm just not going to see miracles and healings from my hands. But I can tell you honestly, I've seen very low levels of healings, very low levels. It's kind of embarrassing. I have an apostolic call on my life, but I don't see the level of healings that make sense. People say to me, Jeff, you're an apostle. I say, I'm actually not going to receive that. I will say that my leadership and gifting style is apostolic, but I believe one of the marks of a true apostle is that they need to see high levels of miracles. I don't see high levels. I see some. I see a lot of deliverances. And so what I like to say is my ministry is apostolic. Some people get mad at me for that. They say, you need faith to go ahead and say you're an apostle. I don't really need a title. I just need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit. I don't need a title. I don't need clarity on that. I need faith. And so this gift of faith is something that you need to be pressing in and praying for. It unlocks everything. If you get the gift of faith, you'll pray in tongues. If you get the gift of faith at a high level, you're going to be able to flow in words of knowledge. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see healings. You're going to see, I believe, signs and wonders. But apart from faith, they're all meaningless. If it's not by faith, then what is it of? That's terrible grammar, but you know what I mean. If it's not faith, what is it? You just conjuring up something, you squeezing out some tongues, squeezing out by your own might some, you know, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, squeezing out some, what are you trying to do when you're laying your hands on people if it's not by faith? There is no power in your hands apart from faith. There is no power in us apart from faith. And so I want to be like Chris. My wife has a lot of faith. She has not seen tons of healings and miracles. It's been prophesied over her. But Amy's got faith to believe God for resources. Amy's got faith to believe God for outcomes. Amy decrees some things over the years by faith that have come to pass in remarkable ways. So there's different measures. It's not just miracles and healings and things like that, but we need faith for all of it. And sometimes I wonder, like, what has Jesus done to where we doubt him? Why don't we all have Chris McDonald faith or Amy Lyle faith? Well, maybe they got it in a special endowment, but others can get it through pursuing spiritual gifts, and praying for it. You know, in Acts 27, near the book, end of the book of Acts, Paul's being taken on a ship, and he's going to Rome to stand trial for his Christianity, and a violent storm arises. Remember that? Euroclodon, that was the name of the storm. And after Paul had already given a word of knowledge and wisdom about the storm, those words were ignored, and the people sailed straight into the storm, and now they're in it, and Paul is given a gift of faith, a high measure, an endowment of faith for the moment in this life-threatening situation. It says in Acts 27:21, Paul says this, "Men, you should have listened to me, and have not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now, I urge you to take heart." Here comes the faith. "I urge you, take heart. There will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Now, pause for a second. Paul is saying, guys, the ship's going to be destroyed, but ain't nobody dying. That's putting your money where your mouth is. That's putting your neck on the line. Paul's saying, "I'm an apostle. I speak for the Lord. I have heard from the Lord." In verse 23, he says, "This very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. God has granted you and all those who sail with you to go to Rome.'" He says, "Take heart, men. I have faith in God, it will be exactly as I've been told. That's the gift of faith. Paul had something to stand on. He had heard from the Lord. He said, it shall come to pass. It will be done. And faith ends in a period, not a comma, not a question mark. Faith makes declarations. And so we have these three gifts, the gift, the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of faith. And they're all available to you, all of them. So I'm going to encourage you as we close today's episode on Mavericks and Misfits, pray for these things. Pray for them. Earnestly desire them. Hang out with people that have them. When I was in that service with Chris McDonald, he had gotten done preaching. He and I both did altar ministry for about an hour after the message. And when the crowd had kind of dissipated, he was getting ready to leave. I was getting ready to leave. I asked him, I said, brother, I need you to put your hands on me. You are an apostle of faith. I see it. I do not have what you have, but I want it. It wasn't an unholy jealousy. It was, if that kind of faith is available, and it is, and I am coming up short of it, and I am, then I want somebody who knows what it's about to be able to help me with it. So Chris put his hands, broke some stuff off of me, blessed me, and ever since then, I've noticed an uptick in faith. Now listen, I have to own it. I've got to walk it out. I've got to develop it. Faith is a muscle that if you don't exercise, it will atrophy. So I want to encourage you guys, word of knowledge, word of wisdom and faith, press in the upcoming week. Seek the Lord and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And let's check back with each other next time as we continue this series in Mavericks and Misfits on the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
I believe we all have plenty of room to grow in the area of faith. Specifically, we learned today that we need greater faith to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. For more teachings like this, visit transformingtruth.org or subscribe to Transforming Truth's YouTube page. Our one-stop shop for all video and audio resources is located on the free Transforming Truth app. Tune in next Tuesday for the next episode, as Jeff will talk to us about miracles and healings.